Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20. Now, in this particular passage, we're going to learn about some things that are never satisfied, but you need to see the text, first of all, to see two of the most important. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. All right, well, we need to, first of all, look at that. When you look in the Bible and you see the word hell just like that, you got to remember there are a lot of people that don't believe in hell, or if they do believe in hell, they don't believe it to be a fiery place of torment where a man spends eternity. But it is that type of place, just like the Bible describes, a place of eternal torment, a place of separation from God, a place of fire. And the Bible says hell and destruction are never full. In other words, there's always room for somebody else. The Bible says when hell started to fill up, the Bible says hell hath enlarged herself. Hell hath enlarged herself. There's always room for more. Now, it's an unfortunate thing because there's also room at the cross. There's no reason for any man, woman, or child to die and go to hell. Your sins have already been paid for by Jesus Christ. All you have to do is receive him as your Savior. And the idea that somebody would reject the Lord Jesus Christ because he thought he was righteous enough to pass the judgment of God, because he thought he was justified in his sin, because he thought there's no way that a loving and merciful God could throw anybody into hell, is a terrible reason to end up there. Like a friend of mine said, why would you go to hell with your sins paid for? That doesn't make sense. Hell is a real place, and hell is never full. Destruction's not full, if you've noticed. By the time you finally get through one bad storm, there's another tornado. There's another hurricane. There's another typhoon. There's another tsunami. There's another forest fire. There's another earthquake. There's another volcano. Hell and destruction are never full. They're always continually expanding. We know that shortly before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, natural occurrences of destruction increase. Jesus Christ forewarned us about those things. Famine, plague, pestilence, earthquake, volcano, storms, they're just multitude. Now, they're never full. Like we said, hell always has room for another person that's foolish enough to reject Jesus Christ. Destruction, never full. It will continue to try to destroy the earth. Well, as those two are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Never satisfied. If you say, oh, I wish I could see that movie. I would be so satisfied if I could see that movie. Then you see it. Well, that you know you're not satisfied because the next time that you want to relax in the same way, you say, oh, I wish I could watch that movie, whatever movie it is, not the same one necessarily, but another movie. You're not satisfied to have seen the one you wanted to see. I'm constantly reminded about men that are hooked on pornography because they get the idea, I think, that if they could just see whatever they want to look at, that somehow or another would satisfy them. It doesn't. There's an addiction here, obviously. And they got to see more. A man that wants to be satisfied with alcohol, he's never satisfied with alcohol. He drinks a little, he's got to drink some more. And it goes on like that with addictions. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Whatever you lay your eyes on that you say you want, you finally get it and you think, well, that would take care of it. But it doesn't. I know a friend of mine one time walked into a really nice department store and spent some time there with his wife. She was buying some things. And he said this when he left, I thank God that I didn't see anything in there that I wanted. I didn't see anything in there that I needed. I'm satisfied not to have bought a single thing. Another fellow went into a department store and walked out with 10 items in his basket, and he said, you know, I felt cheated because all I had was 10 items in my basket. I should have had more. I wanted more. At least he was an honest man. That what he's telling you is, I saw some things in there that I wanted. I saw some possessions I wish I could have had. I feel like I should have been able to get those things. You know what the problem is? The eyes of man are never satisfied. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 at verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and look at verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. You always want to hear more. You always want to see more. You've gotten to see Mount Rushmore. Now you want to see the Alps. You've seen the Alps. Now you want to see the Rockies. You've seen the Rockies. Now you want to see the Grand Canyon. You've seen the Grand Canyon. Now you want to go to Alaska. You've been to Alaska. Now you want to see Mexico. You've seen Mexico. Now you want to go down to South America. You get into South America and you go to Peru and you see the Galapagos Island and you're all impressed with that. You say, okay, now I want to go to Norway. I want to see the fjords. You see the fjord. Now you want to see the Baltic states. You see the Baltic states. Now you go and you say, okay, I'll tell you one place I've always wanted to go, always wanted to see, Italy. And you go to Italy and you see that and you see Rome and you come back and you go, man, that was fabulous. You know, I've always wanted to see. What's the deal, man? You know what the deal is? Never satisfied. Never satisfied with seeing. Always want to see more. Never satisfied with hearing. Always want to hear more. It's never enough. There's always more. You know what that is? That's the lust and appetite of the flesh. It cannot be satisfied. It is insatiable. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8. I mean, the point of this whole thing is, if hell and destruction are never full, and the eye is not satisfied with seeing, then why bother? It's just vanity. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is its eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. You know what he said? He said, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. You go to a country because you like to travel. You get there, you go to the store, you buy something. What is it? You want to put that in your cabinet. You want to put that on your shelf. You want to, you know, possess it because it's beautiful. And now you've got it. If you were satisfied with what you had, that possession you owned, that riches that you had, then it would please you to see that one thing and never have to see another thing, but it doesn't. You go to another country, you say, oh, that's very expensive, nice piece of whatever. I'd like to buy that. And so a nice piece of art, a nice piece of crystal, a nice piece of wood, a nice piece of metal, a nice stone, and whatever it is. And you say, well, I have to have that. And now you get home and you see those two things that you've bought in these two countries that you visited and you think, well, now certainly that should take care of it. You now can be satisfied with things you've seen, but it doesn't work like that. And you know it doesn't work like that because the eye is not satisfied with riches. You get a bank statement and you've been listening to a financial counselor on the radio, or maybe you've hired one, or maybe you're a stockbroker. You've been listening to a financial counselor, and he tells you, oh, now this is the way you need to organize your portfolio. This is what you need to own. So you go out and you buy that stuff. All right, now you make a little more money this year, and you know what? You're no longer satisfied to have whatever it is, $100,000 CD or $200,000 portfolio of stocks and bonds and CDs and whatnot. So you go out and get more. Why? Well, you're just not sure that's going to be enough. Well, that's not the only problem. It's not that you're not sure that it's going to be enough or that there's inflation or whatever. You're just not satisfied. There's never enough. Never enough. When a corporate CEO has made $1 million for doing what he does, then why does he want to make more? What value is it to him to make $2 million now or $3 million or $5 million or $10 million a year? For what purpose? He can't spend all that money. I mean, he can live as high on $1 million as he did on $10 million. I know some folks that don't make $25,000 a year that are happier than he is. What's the problem? He's never satisfied with riches. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 10, you say, how do you know that? Because Solomon, who was the richest man on earth, knew that. Ecclesiastes 5, 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. So you're not going to be satisfied with an increase in abundance. You're not going to be satisfied with silver if you love silver. Why? Because it's never enough. And the problem is not the quality of the silver. It's not inflation. The problem is you. The problem is me. The problem is the flesh. The problem is that the eye, that the mind, that the ear, that the flesh, whatever that you love, never satisfied. Never satisfied. You got some silver, you want more. You got silver coins, you want silver goblets. You want silver, you got silver goblets, you want silver bowls. You got silver bowls, now you want silver chargers. You got silver chargers, now you want silver platters. Now you got silver platters, you want silverware. I mean, it just doesn't stop. It never will stop. Possession, possession, possession. Now, it's interesting because something has got to stop that. I mean, it's crazy to keep making those accumulations. I've got friends that love to hunt. Okay, they shot a white-tailed deer. They got a nice rack on the wall. All right, after they shot the deer, then they went and they shot an antelope, and that's nice, and they got that on the wall. Then they went fishing. They caught a great big fish, and they put that on the wall, and caught another great big fish, and put that on the wall, caught a marlin, and put that on the wall, caught a sailfish, put that on the wall, caught a dolphin, put that on the wall. And then they went up to the northern part of the United States and shot an elk and shot a moose and shot a caribou. And boy, they got those things on the wall. You know what they had to do? Build a bigger trophy room. All right, they got a bigger trophy room. They say, well, I've shot a whitetail and I've shot an antelope and I've shot, you know, these other animals. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll go on a safari. Okay, what are you going to do on a safari? You're going to shoot another animal. Bring home an elephant. Put it on the wall. A lion. Put it on the wall. A tiger. Put it on the wall. A hyena, put that on the wall. A rhinoceros, put that on the wall. What do you got to do? Build a bigger room. At what point do you have enough heads on the wall? Well, never. As long as there's another animal that you don't have, then we're going to kill him, put him on the wall, and if we have to build a bigger room, we'll build a bigger room. You know what that is? That's the lust and appetite of the flesh. It never stops. It's never satisfied, and you're not going to satisfy it. You're never going to satisfy it because Solomon said you're not going to. The eyes of man are never satisfied. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. The eye is not satisfied with riches. The eye is not satisfied with silver. Listen, man, with that kind of a lust and appetite in the flesh, you've got to understand there's only one thing that can be done. That flesh needs to be brought into subjection. It needs to be stopped. It needs to be slowed down. It needs to be satisfied with something that it cannot be satisfied with here in the earth. Let me show you how bad it is. In Psalm 81, verse 16, we're reading about how God would have dealt with Israel. You know, once he gave them the covenant that Moses, you know, gave them the Ten Commandments, and he gave them the priesthood, and he gave them the sacrifices, and he gave them the tabernacle, and gave them the kings, and the whole thing. The Lord said, he should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. The Lord said, look, with me, you following that little covenant that I gave you, with me, you would have been satisfied, and I would have given you all the honey you could possibly stand to eat, and I would have given you the finest of wheat. And he went on to describe some other things like protection from your enemies and protection from diseases and health of your children and health of your animals. Just this whole thing, he said, I would have satisfied you with the whole thing. But the Jews wouldn't listen. Why? Because they weren't satisfied with that. They wanted to worship idols. Why? The other nations had them. They wanted to make the statues. They wanted to make the high places. They wanted to make the groves. They wanted to make the altars. And they started worshiping idols. And when they did, it just destroyed the country. Now, over time, the Jews have experienced some terrible things in the Old Testament. And during the tribulation, they will experience the worst of whatever they've ever experienced before. In Leviticus 26:26, the Lord is giving a very stringent list of warnings to Israel about the things he's going to do to them if they depart from his law and don't walk in his statutes and his testimonies and his covenant. He said, I'm going to do some terrible things to you. And one of the things he says is this in Leviticus 26:26. When I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. What's the problem? They're on starvation rations. Why? Because as long as they serve God, God gave them everything that they wanted. But they weren't satisfied with that. We loathe this white bread when they were out in the wilderness. They didn't like the manna. And yet, the manna was some of the healthiest food anybody on earth has ever eaten. So the Lord said, okay, you're not satisfied with that? Go run after your own idols, run after your own lusts, and then one of these days, 10 women are going to bake your bread in one oven. They will weigh out your portion of the bread and deliver it to you. You're going to eat it and you will not be satisfied. What you have eaten will be like you did not eat at all. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 20, he goes on to describe how horrible this situation is. He shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. He shall eat on the left hand and they shall not be satisfied. Well, if the man's not satisfied with the bread that he's able to steal, snatch, and the bread that he's been weighed out by the ration line, what's he going to do? Isaiah 9:20 goes on to say, they shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Oh, the guy gets so hungry, and everybody else is starving to death, he starts eating his own arm. That is horrible. Amos 4:8, 4:9 goes on to describe, not only are they lacking bread, but they're lacking water. The Bible says, so two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. You know, the Lord allowed those terrible things to happen to Israel, the shortage of water and the shortage of bread. For one reason, he'll allow that during the tribulation. It's so that they will turn and look to him and remember how well he took care of them while they were out in the wilderness when they left Egypt. They'll go back and reflect on their history as they read the Old Testament. And he's not going to satisfy them with bread, and he's not going to satisfy them with water. Then they'll quit looking to the bread and they'll quit looking to the water because those things won't satisfy. They will look to God Almighty, the remnant of them that are left. The blasting and the mildew will have wiped out most of the crops, and therefore the population after war and after famine will be decimated. But that remnant is going to turn to the Lord. And when they turn to the Lord, they'll be satisfied, but not until then. You see, because we always want our satisfaction in the things that we possess, the eye is never satisfied. We always want to be able to go and eat to the full and drink to the full and possess to the full and run to the full and sleep to the full and work to the full and play to the full. And none of those things concern God. God said, why don't you be satisfied with me? I'll take care of you. That's what he told the Jews. But people aren't satisfied with those kind of things. The Bible describes in Job chapter 27, verse 14, the portion of a wicked man. The portion of a wicked man is this, if his children be multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Same situation as the Jews. And he gets into that situation because he's wicked. Now, we go on. Not only does it concern Israel, not only does it concern riches and silver and our eyes and our ears and other things like that, but notice this. There are other things in the earth that are never satisfied. Four of them, as a matter of fact. Proverbs 30, verses 15 and 16. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, the horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. It's like a bloodsucker. Give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things, say not, it is enough. All right, here they are. They're like hell and destruction. Number one, the grave. The grave is never satisfied. If the grave were satisfied, people would quit dying, but it's never satisfied. It wants more. And therefore, today, there'll be a bunch of people die. And tomorrow, there'll be a bunch more people die. And the next day, a bunch more people die. People die every day. They die. You can measure the time between the deaths in seconds. I don't remember what the term was. I remember something like every 2.5 seconds, somebody on the face of the earth dies. That's a horrible thought. But you know what? You would think after a while the grave would say, okay, that's enough, boys. Shut it off. Let them live. But the grave never does. It's never satisfied. It'll always take another one, just like hell and just like destruction. The barren womb is never satisfied. And I'll be very careful about what I say here because I have several women, friends, and couples that are not able to have children. And that's a sad thing. And the Bible says there's a lack of satisfaction there because she wants to have children, but she can't. And that barren woman is never satisfied, and the only thing that can satisfy it is to have a child. And she's in a position where she can't have the child. And when you see the agony that Hannah went through and the agony that Rachel went through before they had children, oh, that's tough, man. That's a hard thing. Maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you're not compassionate. But if you know somebody that's in that case, it's a very, very difficult thing. But the barren womb is never satisfied. The earth is not filled with water is not satisfied. When that ground out there gets parched and it wants rain and it doesn't get it, you can pour all the rain you want on there and you think, well, certainly now with a 20-inch rain, that ought to take care of it. And I mean to tell you, in no time at all, that water has been absorbed and run off and gone into the creeks and streams and rivers and beds. And you know what happens? Suddenly, Within days, you look at the ground and you're thinking, man, it needs a rain. It's just amazing how quickly the earth needs it again. It's never satisfied with water. It always, always needs more if it's not filled. And the fire saith not, it is enough. Because why? The fire will always consume. If there's anything else left to burn and the fire can get to it, it will burn it. That's what happens in those forest fires and those brush fires that spread so rapidly. The fire doesn't get to a point and say, well, I've consumed enough trees. I think I'll stop right here. Can't stop. It cannot stop. It is out of control. That's what they say. It is out of control. And so it continues to rage as long as it has something to burn. Well, those things that we've described there, the grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not it is enough, they're never satisfied. All right, and to the same extent as they're not satisfied, neither are you. Your eye is never satisfied. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 28 and 29, Israel played the whore with the Assyrians. You would think after she had played the whore with the Assyrians that that would have been enough. It isn't enough. The Lord said to her, yet couldst not be satisfied, yet thou wast not satisfied therewith. What was the problem? They thought, well, I'll go to the Assyrians, and certainly we'll give them all the gold and treasure that we have here, and the Assyrians will take care of us and keep us from being attacked by the Egyptians, and keep us from being attacked by the Syrians, and keep us from being attacked by Lebanon, and keep us from being attacked by Israel. So we're going to go to the Assyrians, and we're going to play the harlot. We're going to compromise our own position here with God in order to get them to take care of us. All right, so they got the Assyrians to take care of them, and they weren't satisfied. They just were not satisfied. Why? Because the Assyrians turned on them. Every truce and every covenant relationship and every diplomatic relationship that countries get into to work together to destroy a common enemy, once that enemy is destroyed, they turn on each other. At some point in time, they become enemies. Never satisfied. And what that eventually leads to is this in Habakkuk 2:5. Habakkuk 2:5, we see the Antichrist or a world ruler, any world ruler like Hitler, Charlemagne, Constantine, Napoleon, Alexander the Great, any world ruler before, they've all had the same problem. Habakkuk 2:5. The Bible says, yea, also because he transgresseth by wine. He is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire is hell and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations and heapeth unto him all people. That's going to be the downfall of the Antichrist. If he has his country and then he gets another country to join him, he wants another country. And if he can get those two countries with him, he wants a third country and fourth country and a fifth country and the world. And once he gets the world, he'll want the moon. And once he gets the moon, he'll want heaven. After he gets the planets and the stars, he'll want to be God. And God isn't going to let him have that possession. But he'll never be satisfied till he gets it all. That's what plagued the devil. He looked at all that stuff that God had and said, I want that. I'm going to sit in that throne. And God destroyed him. And he'll destroy every man that cannot be satisfied the same way. They all end up in hell and destruction. That's why hell and destruction are never full. They want you. They want you to not be satisfied with these things so that you'll keep chasing after these things and eventually wind up in hell. Well, I'll tell you, it's a lot different for us that are Christians than it is for other people who have no control over these appetites whatsoever. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. For once, thank God, he shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. Oh, brother, there it is right there. You want to be satisfied? Fear God. When you fear God, you'll look to him for your provisions. If he doesn't give you the provisions that you want, it's okay. He'll give you contentment like he gave to Paul. Paul, there were times when Paul ran around, he was hungry and thirsty. He said, that's fine. I'm content. There were times when Paul had an abundance. He said, that's fine. This stuff doesn't get to me. I'm content. In whatsoever state I am, I have learned therewith to be content. He's content. And he got that from the fear of the Lord, because he knew that God was his provider in everything that he had. And he always looked to the Lord for those provisions. And he abides satisfied. Psalm 17:15, David said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Let me tell you, it may not go well for you down here in the earth, and you may not be satisfied with the body God gave you. It might have a busted leg. It might have a bad eye. It might have a bad ear or set of ears. It might have a bad nose. It might have a bad heart. It might have a bad liver. It might have a bad kidney. It might have diabetes. It might have some other type of ailment. You may be on constant medications. You might be bedridden. Whatever the case may be, David said, you know something? I will be satisfied. Don't worry about that. I will be satisfied. When? When I arise, when I awake with thy likeness. For a Christian, we have a great promise of God that this vile body will be fashioned after God's glorious body. When Christ shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to end up with a glorified body. And no matter how bad it is for you down here, no matter how much your appetite gets away with you, no matter how much your lust gets away with you, though you should get those things under control, no matter how messed up your body is because of health concerns, the truth of the matter is one of these days you get out of that body, God raises your body out of the ground after it's been refashioned or dead, and God gives you a body that looks just like Jesus Christ, and it lives forever without sorrow, without death, without pain, without tears, without sin. What a tremendous thing. The greatest thing in the world you can do to be satisfied is to become a Christian. Because then with Jesus Christ now in the fear of the Lord, you're satisfied. And with Jesus Christ in the hereafter, you're satisfied because everything about this body that's not satisfied now is satisfied then. It's a wonderful thing. But just be sure of one thing. If you're working for the great goal of achieving some success in life, you want to be the chairman of your company, you want to be the, you know, the best coach in the world, you want to, whatever it is you want to be, when you get it and you sit down and you finally have relaxed in your seat and you look at what you've got, you're not going to be satisfied. If it is a possession that you are achieving to satisfy yourself, you will not be satisfied any more than a fire or hell or destruction or the barren womb or the dry earth or the grave is satisfied. The only thing that will satisfy you is the fear of the Lord by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you can be content with the things God gives you now, and then you'll be satisfied in eternity because you'll be His likeness and you'll have a body that won't be concerned with these things. It's your choice. Our prayer is that your choice will be to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and learn to be satisfied in spiritual matters since the flesh can never be satisfied. That's our hope. That's our prayer. That's our desire. But it's your choice. Make the right choice.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.